A Christmas Eve Sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on December 24, 1996, entitled God's Identification with the World. The scripture readings are Philippians 2, verses 1 through 11, and John 1, verses 1 through 14. The texts for the sermon are Philippians 2, verse 7, and John 1, verse 14. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
It is that holy night again when we celebrate the mystery of the birth of Jesus Christ and the reality of God's presence in a human person. And it is a night in which we can best celebrate in the posture of worship. It is a night for song and for poetry. It is a night for drama and dance. It is a night for miracle and mystery. The Christian faith has analyzed the possibility of God in humanity to the point of being ridiculous, as we've tried rationally to get our minds around the thing that we celebrate this night. And there has been volumes written and centuries of debate and discussion, but somehow or other, in an evening like this, in a setting like this, with music like this, all of those questions, all of those impossible possibilities, all of those things that we might reflect upon and discuss in a Bible class, all of them are dissolved in the mystery of the moment when we are lost in wonder and love and praise. Because the truth that is being communicated in this experience is that God is with us, that God has identified with our world, that God has gotten mixed up in our stuff, and that is the mystery of Christmas. John, in his version of the Christmas story, begins by reminding us of the opening words of the creation story. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And when he wants to tell the story of Jesus, he says, in the beginning. In order to trigger in our minds that creation story and to let us know that he's really talking about the Creator God, the one God, who brought all things into being. And then he tells how that God who is light and life to the world that God brought into being, pregnant with the divine life and light, at one point took on the form of our humanity. And his statement, which is so full of mystery and yet so simple, the Word, or the eternal intention of God, became flesh and dwelt among us, so that in the form of one of us there dwelt the fullness of the presence of God. And that is the mystery. Not that God walked among us, but that one of us walked among us, full of God, manifesting God, revealing God, Jesus was not God out of God becoming human. Jesus was human, born, bone of our bone, flesh of our flesh. And the mystery is that they looked at this human being and said, "My God." The miracle and the mystery is that God has assumed our flesh, and in the form of the human, God is with us. Matthew said it was that prophetic name, Emmanuel, God with us. John simply says, the Word of God that was in the beginning, the Word that was the expression of God's eternal intention, became flesh in our midst, so that in a human being, God dwelt fully. And that was in order to show us the way. Jesus, according to John's Gospel, says at one point, "If you've seen me, you have seen the Father." So there is that revelation of the heart or the intention of God in Jesus. In that human form, the divine intention comes to expression. And that human life, to put it in Paul's terms, in that human life, in that human face, we see into the heart of God. But the intention of that revelation was not to satisfy our curiosity about who God is, but in order to show us how to be human. And that was the epistle reading this evening, where Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, a congregation with whom he was in love, because they had on numerous occasions ministered to him, and he was now imprisoned for his faith. And he writes them a letter because they sent him a gift. In the midst of his saying thank you to them, he deals with a little pastoral problem. Once a pastor, always a pastor. And so he says to them, "By the way, I understand that there are two women in the congregation. I appeal to them to get along, please." And then, as the example of how to get along, he says, "Have this mind in you that was in Christ Jesus." The mind of Christ, or the being of Christ, the very, well, the person that Jesus was, summed up in Paul's word, the mind of Christ, to set the demeanor of the human person. Paul says, let that be in you. Because really, Jesus was not God's rescue operation to save the world, except to save the world from itself. Jesus was God's exhibit A in our midst of God's intention, of God's demeanor. But that intention and demeanor in a human form, so that we might continue the incarnation. It's the Anglican tradition that talks about the church as the body of Christ, which is an image of the Apostle Paul, but the church as the body of Christ, as the extension of the incarnation. And I know some good Reformed theologians who say, for shame, that's heresy. The incarnation was unique, once for all, in Jesus. To speak about the church as the extension of the incarnation is to make everything fuzzy. You have to keep that distinction. And I want to say that's the problem, making that distinction. There is not to be a distinction. There is to be a continuation. It was that divinity in the humanity in the midst of our history that was to be duplicated over and over again in the likes of us. Jesus didn't come bearing the divine image in order to satisfy our curiosity about what God is like. That happened incidentally. And to see into the face of Jesus is to see into the heart of God. But as a matter of fact, God's intention in the incarnation was so to identify with us and with our world that our world might be pregnant with God. I think what the hymn that Paul quotes in the second chapter of Philippians is trying to say is that what happened in Jesus came from beyond us, but it was so much among us that its message was as well that there is nothing outside of God. If God is more than the world, there is no world that is not in God. If God is more than the totality of cosmic reality, there is no cosmic reality that is more than God. God's total identification with our world in the humanity of Jesus was to trigger us to continue the same way of being in the world as Jesus was in the world. So a very practical thing Paul says to this congregation, say, Euodias and Syntyche, you two women in the Dorcas society, would you get along? Because that's what Christmas was all about, to show human beings how to get along, to have this mind in you, because the whole human problem was already exposed in that creation story of Adam and Eve, where they weren't satisfied to be human. They wanted to be more. And all of the trouble of the world is because of that human drive to usurp what is divine, when as a matter of fact, God's whole message to us at Christmas in the humanity of Jesus, which reflects the heart of God, is that with humility, we should get along. We should have the mind of Christ. We should not be only concerned about ourselves, but the affairs of others. We should be building community here and let it ripple out from here. Because the reason Jesus came was not to uncover the mystery of God. That mystery will remain intact forever. It was to show us how to be human. How to reverse all of that that was triggered with the first human rebellion. To build the community that comes from esteeming another better than myself. Embracing, loving, having the mind of Christ. Christmas is not so much about God as it was God's attempt to show us how to be human for God's sake.